This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Srixon Golf Balls. I have personally had the opportunity to experience the entirety of their lineup in the THP Tech Studio and have confidently featured a number of them in our testing. Whether you are looking for a premium urethane option in the Z-Star series, a quality budget option in the soft feel, or somewhere in between with the Q-Star Tour, Srixon Golf is bound to present an option that will work for your game. For more information, visit www.srixon.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, my golfing friends, to another episode of Off Course. I am your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is Mr. Danny Lee of UST Mamiya. How are you, my good man?
Good. How you doing, Dan? How's everyone out there?
I'm doing awesome. I've been playing a lot of golf. It's like 81 out right now, which we went from too cold to too hot within about a week and a half stretch. But you wouldn't know much about that. You're in a pretty good spot to play golf, aren't you?
No. Texas it's hot. It's summer here already, right? It's last weekend we had a record high of 95 degrees, or some spots up to 100 degrees. So it's it hit us hard, right? We had a good spring. Now summer is here, even though it's not summer yet.
Yeah, I kind of set you up there a little bit. We got staff writer on the forum, J-Man, James Miles. He just wrapped up state, said he played in like 100 degree temps all day long with his boys and girls, and he said it was brutal. So yeah, we're hitting
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma, Texas, you kind of get in that area, and it's just... Yeah, it's got to be weird, though, because you guys look at the release cycle a little bit differently than we do in terms of like a golfing public, right? Like what we see is like off season, can't play. You guys get a little bit more time than we do.
Oh, yeah, we're year round. This whole notion of you can't keep handicaps from October through March. What is that?
Yeah. Okay. You know, the funny part about that, Danny, is this year, they punched our greens 2 days after opening up the gin posting season, which I couldn't stop laughing about, because it's like, all right, I can post some worse rounds. That's fine.
Yeah, that whole thing is weird to me. Like, what, you guys just also stop playing golf? You don't like travel somewhere to play golf? Like, what's up with that? Like, if you live in the Northeast and all of a sudden you go to like Florida and play a round of golf, you can't post scores?
You actually can. Yeah, it's based on the state you're playing in. So if I'm in Ohio and I travel to, let's say, Georgia, they're I don't know that they ever stopped posting there. So, or even south of that, like Florida.
Yeah.
So just because it's bad golf doesn't mean you can't post it. And for me, that's year round on Bermuda. So
Bermuda, come on.
Yeah. So go ahead.
You can't get those fancy bent greens, you know?
I mean,
you can't get them in the South. It's too hot for that.
Yeah. Well, I'll take the 2.5 months off for the better greens. It's fine for me. How's your game?
Yeah. Good and bad. You know, I was just talking to someone the other day. I was like, you know, I don't think I've posted a round in Texas since January of this year. And I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, I did. I played two rounds in January 4th, 5th, I think. And then I have not been able to play another round in Texas. Obviously, I've, you know, played at THP events. You know, we did the event in Nashville, and then we did the first event in Ballyhack. So I was able to play there, but that's different, right? You're playing like a shamble format, so it's totally different. But I've literally posted two rounds in Texas, and not too many rounds. Game is good, you know, as good as can be considering the little golf that I play. But it's you know, the adventures of Danny Lee and UST Mamiya and THP continues, right?
Yeah. Well, the one event you referred to, Nashville, was Rivalry, which I was really hoping you and JB would just go, you know, face to face, full blood, you know, anger match. But you guys were teammates. It was almost a letdown for me. What was up with that, man?
No, that's, you know, we were trying to divide the team, so to say, right?
Okay.
With the THP forum, you know, one of those things where, you know, obviously we've known each other a long time. There's no bad blood. So it was fun to play on the same team, but the problem is every time we play together, we get our ass kicked. So I think, I don't know if, you know, the THP community is understanding this yet, but every time we play together, we get our butts kicked. We've won once or twice, but for the most part, our winning percentage is very, very low.
Man. Yeah. There was talk of that. There were some expectations going in. And how did you think that went overall? Which course do you think offered a more significant challenge to some of our out-of-towners who were just chasing the golf ball for the first time of the year?
Oh, definitely the club that Josh belongs to.
It's Bluegrass. Yeah.
Yeah. Bluegrass is definitely challenging from a tee to green perspective. So it's, you know, it's not overly long. It's not overly difficult, but you got to put it in the right spots. Otherwise you will miss the green, be hard up and down and stuff like that. So I think that was a lot more challenging. And then obviously the golf course we play at Gaylord, a lot more wide open. So different style, you can just blast away, but they're both, you know, small things here and there would affect the scores. And, you know, we saw that, you know, we split the matches at Bluegrass, and then those guys kind of ran away with it on Sunday at Gaylord. But overall, it was entertaining. It was fun. You know, that was the goal, is always to have fun. But, you know, come down a couple of matches here and there, you know, it is what it is.
So then the other thing was it got a little bit of a delay. It was supposed to be done earlier in the year. And yep. I was super disappointed, honestly, because the weather, and I'm speaking from a casual onlooker who would have been sitting inside watching via computer. You guys were primed to play in like 33 degree weather. How does Danny Lee function in 33 golf?
I don't.
Yeah. You know,
it's there's going to be too many layers on. I'm going to be freezing my butt off. It's a challenge. I, you know, typically when the weather's bad, I actually play better because I'll just not think about anything. Just hit the ball and get in the cart or walk, whatever it is, to try to stay warm. But yeah, that weather forecast didn't look too good for us in late January. You know, obviously we got the rain, so we couldn't even play even if we were able to go to the event. So I think it's a good thing. I mean, we still got cold weather. You know, even that late, we were cold in the morning. There was frost delay. So it wasn't all warm and fuzzy. But overall, it was pretty good weather for us.
Man, I was ready for that. I was ready for just pure complaints. I remember JB at one point had a jacket that had an internal heating system in it, and I'm sure he was wishing he had that thing.
Everyone, I mean, it was funny. Our team chats, we were talking about like a vest. Here's a heating vest. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah,
you know,
they're bringing out a parka to play golf.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, get a cart and just like wrap it up and put a heater in there. I think it'd be okay.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Shaft Up, which has been going on for quite a while now. And it's this ridiculous, let's go to a crazy golf course, get hooked up with some really cool product, and then lay waste to Danny and Josh on the golf course. That basically has been the structure of the event for a while. But, you know, the courses you guys have been selecting are just unbelievable. It's fair to say that you just keep turning up that dial, especially as we move into middle of 2022.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, every year we, you know, when we first started this years ago, it was just, hey, try to get together, make an experience it for a couple of THP forum members where, hey, you know, they get their airfare taken care of, hotel, you know, lodging, food, golf, all that, you know, just treat them as a VIP. And it's grown to, hey, you know, what's the next evolution? Hey, let's take them to these fabulous golf courses. You know, we've been at Belle Reve, we've been at Olympia, we've been in Vegas, like some phenomenal golf courses. And then, you know, this year, you know, we're going to, you know, these Dormy Network clubs, and it's these golf courses are amazing. It's just the service level is second to none. And then obviously the golf course behind it is pretty spectacular. You know, I was blown away with Ballyhack when we did the first event with Hack It Up and Will and myself and JB. And it was like, wow, every hole is just gorgeous. And then, you know, the next event we're going to be in June is going to be at Victoria National, a top 50 golf course in the United States. And they host a web.com, or excuse me, Corn Ferry Finale. So, you know, you get to play some world-class golf courses and you get to experience, you know, just having fun, right? So it's a blast for me because I get to experience these golf courses. You know, people are like, oh, you know, Danny's been to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah, man, every golf course, every experience is unique and it's fun. It's just to meet the guys on the forum, the guys and gals on the forum, and just have a blast, a couple of days of just, you know, getting the breeze and figuring out, you know, how to make the game, golf game better for those winners.
Yeah, the winners, yeah. You mean of the competition with you or just being a part of the event? I can't tell.
Just being part of the event and also, you know, kicking out butts. And I think what we'll do next time is like we'll fit them after the competition is over.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
They can play, you know, like, so, hey, this is your – these are your clubs. Let's play it as is. And then, okay, we'll fit them afterwards. But that's not the formula. We typically will get them there. We'll fit them right away and then get them into the new product. So that way they have time to hit on the range, have time to play a couple holes, and then we'll have a competition. And that way they're kind of familiar with the product and then go from there.
Well, it's cool. You've done PGA Tour Stomp courses. You've done, you know, obviously you mentioned Dormy Network, which is pretty great seeing some of those different areas, but you've also done it at interesting times. Like I remember watching one where you could tell the course was just coming out of dormancy and like everything was still immaculate. It just wasn't like when the tour gets there, it didn't quite look that way. So yep. It was kind of a cool difference to it. And it reminded me, I have a question for you, and I'll circle back onto something that made me think of, but if some of these courses you have a perceived notion of and then you go there and play there and maybe a different time of year or whatever it may be without the stands involved, is it interesting to get to a place with an expectation and see something a little bit different, even if that doesn't mean like weaker quality, it just means like a different time of year?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's always interesting to you know, see, like, for example, when we did Barrel Reeve 1 year, it was basically coming. It was the worst winter they've ever had in a while, and so, you know, everything was just dormant. And we got lucky to be able to actually do the event. It was a snowstorm. They were closed for a long time, and then they open up, and then they shut down like a couple days later because the snowstorm came through again. So, you know, then you see it on TV where they're hosting the PGA Championship. And you're like, wow, okay, yeah, I played that hole. And it's a totally different golf course, right?
Yeah.
You know, when they have a PGA Tour event, you know, people are like, well, why are they hitting it so far? Because they, you know, obviously shave the fairway. It's firm and fast is how typically every PGA Tour event they want to play it. And then the greens are pretty immaculate. There are certain times where I was able to play, you know, Whistling Straits right after a Ryder Cup. And so I experienced the Sunday pins that they play, the fairways, the greens, and it's a totally different golf course with the tour setup. You know, it's much more difficult. People don't understand how difficult certain pin locations are when they're trying to attack, you know, a par three or par five. It's just ridiculous. It's Sunday pins on, you know, probably 75% of the holes. But you know what? When you hit the fairway, it's going to run out forever. So you feel like a tour player just hitting it, you know, 250, right?
250, and it goes to what, 345?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's where the misconception of people, like when they play in Texas, like, oh, I hit the ball 300 yards. Like, no, just you hit it probably 225.
Don't worry about that part. That part doesn't matter. I hit a 5-iron about 300 yesterday. Let's ignore the part where it landed at about 205 and just kept going. So
yeah, exactly. But you know,
that's not critical information, Danny.
Oh, it's good information when you're, you know, trying to get dialed into a driver fitting or, you know, something or iron fitting, right? Critical information there.
So it made me think of, and I think I already mentioned this once in the podcast, but I had played a course locally here that was obviously still in off season, and it didn't have any leaves on the trees, but the whole course has basically a tree lined experience. And I was thinking about it, like you just see the wood from the trees, and I bet you if I went back there in the middle of the summer, it would be a totally different visual, mm-hmm. a totally different experience in total. So my question to you would be, is there any course that you've played that you'd want to go see it in a different time of year that you'd be curious about?
I mean, honestly, the first shaft up we did at Ballyhack, I mean, we did that, last month, and that just got into season. I want to play that in the fall where the leaves are just, you know, different colors and it's grown in. You know, it was a, from a tee to green perspective, probably one of the most beautiful golf courses I've been on property. And the idea that once the leaves grow in and how beautiful it would look, it would play totally different because I think the course would look a lot tighter in certain holes. So I think that course, I plan on maybe coming back in like September, October timeframe to see if I can go up there and play around and check it out. You know, like Olympia is another course too, where, you know, they posted obviously US Open there, but then they've hosted the BMW Championship, I think a couple years ago or last year. So I bet you that course is probably the hardest course I've played. And in tournament condition, I think it would be near impossible, you know, to break 100 if I wasn't, you know, if I was trying to score.
Really?
Yeah, I think it. If you were trying to break 100, it's easy. But if you were trying to play like normal, where you're trying to make pars and birdies, right? Then I think it'd be hard to break 100.
Huh.
I think there's two different mindsets, right? Like,
yeah, you know,
they always talk about, can you break 100 as a single digit handicap? Can you break 100 at a US Open course? I think that's super easy. But if you were going into with the mindset of I'm trying to play my best golf, I think you would struggle to break 100.
That's where you get into trouble. Yeah, you're playing safe to not do that. But yeah, correct, I see what you're saying. Yeah, totally. That's interesting, man. What was curious about Ballyhack is it looked like every hole had such a, I don't want to say daunting because I don't think that's fair, but very complex visuals off the tee.
It is.
You're elevated a bit. You've got areas you don't want to hit to that are very visual and present in front of you, which is unlike, you know, those tree line courses or the things that typically have, you know, shoots that you want to hit to. In this case, it's like, don't hit here, but by the way, it's still right here.
Yeah, it's true. Like, you get up, you're like, first of all, you're like, what do I do here? Right?
Yeah,
you can't miss it left, you can't miss it right, so I have to hit the middle of the fairway. You know, so, but then when you play it, you know, 2-3 times, you're like, okay, this is actually a really easy hole. You know, you got to play it a couple times to figure out, okay, you know, this is what you need to do off the tee box, and then it's a really easy shot into the green. There's a hole in the backside. I think it was 13 or 14 is a par four. Probably the craziest green complex they had out there. You know, you're basically hitting either a wedge or 7-8 iron, depending on your tee shot. It's really meant for a wedge or shorter in. If you're hitting a 7-iron, you're going to be making double bogey or triple bogey, depending on where you land it on that green. Has a false front. I could spend hours out there just, you know, chipping around that green complex. It was pretty special. I thought it was pretty unique. I mean, obviously really difficult greens to play, but overall it was enjoyable. So,
well, I think we should probably get into some product talk because we've got the man definitely for the job from a US Team EMEA perspective. And obviously one of the top graphite products in the industry, in a number of different categories between Link here and the driver. We've got Recoil, we've got some new products we haven't really talked about, especially not on the pod with you. So let's break into it, man. I want to tell you, I've been goofing around. You had done an incredible thing for me and sent me a set of unbelievably beautiful blue Recoil shafts, which I have put into a set of Mizuno irons and have been having just way too much fun with. So that's been a thrill. I have to ask you, they say 110 proto on the shaft. You weren't messing with me. That's what's in there, right? Because you've messed with me before.
No, they're like 65 gram lady shafts. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. That was what I built. Doesn't feel like that?
No, it does not. No.
That's a good thing. No, yeah, of course. Of course they're 110s. I would never do that to you.
So
I would do that. I would do that to Josh. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't. And he's the kind of guy where you put a shaft in his hands, and I think he trusts you enough where you just go with it.
Yeah,
but, exactly. Yeah, they've been a lot of fun to hit. I really enjoy the part where they are F5, so they are a little fairly stiff. but I never really feel like I'm getting beat up by them, which has been a huge departure from the steel experience, where you get a little stiffer in your hands, and obviously you get fatigued from that over time, which is not fun at all. So
no, not at all. I mean, obviously from an iron perspective with recoil, you know, there's a lot of challenges there from a, you know, when you go heavier, it gets a lot more different layers into it to get the weight up, and then becomes a little stiffer. But, you know, what we learned with recoil and making shafts, you know, getting to that 90, 105, even 120 gram range, we've had a lot of success with it. But what we're seeing is that obviously from a general consumer perspective, better players, everyone's going a little bit lighter. And, you know, obviously from going lighter, you don't have to swing as hard. It's easier on the body, less fatigue overall during the round, two rounds, three, four rounds a week, whatever it is that you're doing. It's just better, you know. Like I used to play 130 gram shaft. Now I'm down to, you know, 90 grams. And I hit just as many greens or even more greens now just because of the technology that we have in recoil, and especially the recoil dart that we launched last year in 65 and 75 gram. And we're going to be launching, you know, new products in 23, which will be 90 and 105 taper tip models, you know, obviously designed for the better players in the mind. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. I've been testing it. I've been sent out to some people to test it. And the feedback we've gotten on the product has been phenomenal. You know, tested with guys that play regular flex and then guys that play extra stiff that swing 125 with the driver. And good results with the 105X that I've seen, and they love it. Shot their personal records, personal rounds, you know, so it's been good, the feedback so far on the product.
So dart isn't just a typical name like leopard or tiger or anything like that. It actually stands for dual action recoil technology, based on what I'm reading on your website.
Correct.
Just throwing that out there for everyone. it's not just a name, right? There's intent here. And I want to draw it back to ESX, which is, I believe, your enhanced stability model of recoil. Yeah. But I want to ask you a couple questions about that. What differentiates dart from the current recoil shaft, and where does this actually land in 2023 for golfers?
So with a dart, what we did was take a look at, you know, obviously with recoil technology, we took a look at the butt section where the hoop strength is, you know, slightly lower in the butt section, which will transfer energy more efficiently. When you look at, you know, steel shafts in general, they're pretty thin, so they transfer energy. There's a area where, you know, too low of a hoop is bad, and too high of a hoop is bad too as well. So it's one of those trying to find the right area where the hoop strength is ideal. So lower hoop strength in the butt section. And then in the tip section, we want to increase the hoop stiffness there to add stability to the product. So that's where a dual action recoil technology comes in. It's basically, you have two zones in the shaft, the butt section where the walls are going to be a little bit lower hoop. And then the tip section is going to be a lot higher hoop. To allow maximum energy transfer from the butt, and then once you hit the tip section, to allow a lot more stability there at the bottom at impact.
So when it comes to the stiffness and the strength in the handle, I feel like in my mind that should mean that you could swing potentially a slightly stiffer shaft because you're still gaining that loading profile in your hands, or is that more aligned with the full shaft? Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
if you went more soft in the tip, stiff in the handle, would it feel worse than stiff in the tip and soft in the handle?
No, each player reacts differently, right? So okay. What we've done with recoil dart is actually made the flex more uniform. You know, before the different generation product, previous generation, you know, the three iron, two irons was the slightly softer, whereas the wedge was a little stiffer. So you had a higher delta between two iron wedge. And with recoil dart, we basically narrow that delta a little bit better. So the two iron shaft all the way through the wedge shaft is going to be more uniform. So it's going to feel similar from two iron to wedge. And then the result is that you get better launch conditions, more consistent launch conditions. You know, obviously from the main thing when you look at testing, you know, like for example, a seven iron, three iron wedge, whatever it might be, you want to see what that delta looks like. Hey, the launch condition is I'm launching this thing 16 degrees and you know, you're seeing it 16, 16 and a half, you know, as long as the launch condition is really consistent, that's what we're looking for. Launch, spin, ball speed, all those good things together to get, you know, optimal numbers, but consistent numbers is the most important thing.
So are we changing technologies as we move into this new product with Dart, or is there going to be a lot of consistency from product to product, the biggest difference being the tighter tolerances between wedge to long iron shaft?
You know, obviously right now we have a 65, 75, so really different profile, lighter weight, designed to be more mid high launch profile. Dart 90, 105, and then 120 is going to be more of that mid profile. There's going to be no low launch profile, so to say, in the recoil dart family, just because, you know, testing we see with today's irons and stuff like that, players, that low launch window is very small percentage of the golf population. You know, even on PGA Tour, there's maybe one guy, two guys that need that lower launch profile. But you know, to be building products that fit 99% of golfers, you know, that's the business we're in, and trying to make it better for those golfers, right?
Yeah. So I've got buddies who play like Smack Rap. I've seen ES out there quite a bit. Where does this fall for people like that? Is there, it's, I believe Smack Rap is actually a material, right? That's the reference point there.
Yeah. So it's a technology story. So, you know, obviously I think Smack Rap still fits in for, it's basically a viscoelastic material. It's just a rubber compound that we add to the shaft in certain sections of the shaft. So what that does is dampen the vibration even more than a traditional graphite shaft, and even more than a, obviously, steel shaft, right? So with the Smack Wrap, it's basically for that mid to high handicap player who hits it all over their face, because when they hit off the toe, the heel, low, high, it transmits more vibration. And so what that Smack Wrap does is it dampens the vibration better, so enhances the feel for that particular golfer. So when we test a Smack Wrap, for example, in the 95, 110, 125s, better players typically hit closer to the center of the club face. That's just the reality, right? So they don't need that vibration dampening as much as that mid to high handicap who are hitting it all over their face. When they hit it all over the face with Smack Wrap, that product is going to feel better, and then translates into, you know, better feedback for that golfer. So when we test it with better players, the Smack Wrap, they just, it felt more dead than anything to them. That's why you don't see that in that, you know, 90, that 105 range and stuff like that.
Did you know that Srixon Golf has bolstered their Z-Star lineup with the inclusion of the Z-Star Diamond this year? It's a fantastic fit in between the standard Z-Star and the XV. During my testing experience, I really enjoyed my time with the Q-Star Tour and was thrilled by the urethane option in an extremely affordable price window. If that wasn't enough, Srixon has taken the head turning divide and incorporated it into their Z-Star lineup with a more traditional finish. This gives golfers a chance to gain the benefits of an extreme alignment aid while enjoying the technology like Spin Skin that comes in the premium Z-Star offering. For more information on Srixon golf balls, visit www.srixon.com.
In terms of woodshaft, for example, you know, like a 60, 70 gram, you typically associate that with, you know, better player, tour-driven product. The 50, 40 grams, lightweight, designed for that recreational golfer to generate speed. And we're diving into the 30 and 40 gram range right now. Like, for example, we have 30, 40 gram products in our Toss Speed lineup, ultra lightweight. But the problem with going ultra lightweight is you have very low material in there in terms of just the wall thickness. It's very thin. So you have to put different materials into the, whether it's the tip section or the entire shaft, to make it a lot more durable, for it to hold up to club head speed. You know, Quantum Helium is an example of a product that's super stable, lightweight. And I play the Helium, you know, 40, 49 grams stiff flex. And I do that because I play a 46 inch, you know, I'm trying to generate a little bit more speed. And so that's short, by the way. I went down to 46 because of the stupid USGA rule, USGA RNA rule, where I was playing about roughly about 46 and a half, 47 inches, and had, you know, and had no problem with that. And so I've done 46 now, just in case I play in an amateur event, you know, whatever. But the lightweight stuff we have is, you know, the material we can get now is so much better than it has been in the past. You know, obviously all our competitors are getting the same materials. And then when you go to a heavyweight product, a 60-70 gram wood shaft, we're trying to make it stiff as possible, or for that, you know, higher club head speed on the PGA Tour. So typically when we're making it stiffer, we're using higher modulus material. And like you mentioned, when you're using higher modulus material, the material, you know, actually is going to be more brittle. It's more prone to breakage. So you have to back it up with different materials in there to make put in the tip section where that shaft is not going to break there. You know, that's really the critical junction of the shaft.
So when you get up to that 130 range, just how much extra material you're having to throw in there? Or is it that opportunity where you can add material to improve the product? Is there a balance there?
Yeah. You know, for iron shafts, it's, you know, obviously we can make 120, 130 gram shaft, but it's just, you're just putting loads and loads of material in there to get the weight up. And so, you know, we don't see a ton of usage in that heavyweight. You know, that sweet spot that we see is that 90 to 105 range, is at least from a better player perspective, that we can maximize the performance of the iron, you know, 65, 75 too as well, just because, you know, obviously from a material standpoint, carbon fiber usage, we can make the shaft perform how we want to. So that 65 to 105, I think, area is really critical. You know, when you look at other competitors or steel, when they try to go lightweight, the walls get very, very thin and they struggle with consistency in terms of launch and spin. You know, we don't get that in that 65 to 105 gram range. We're pretty good there. So
I remember coming out to HQ and we spent about 3 seconds with 125 and decided there was no point because the nice wheelhouse there was somewhere between 95 and 105 for me. And I don't swing slow. I certainly think I pretty good move on the ball. So to my mind, I feel like graphite at the very least has opened up the opportunity to say we can create certain styles of flights or feedback that you're looking for, stiffness, without making any concessions or forcing to add weight. And I think that's a really interesting conversation to have, especially with that big trend where everyone's coming into that lighter range. Is that fair? Is that what you're seeing in the market?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it gets lighter and lighter every year that I've been in the business. You know, this is my 22nd year being in the golf business, and I've seen it, you know, from when I started the business. You know, you had, you know, steel shafts and drivers, right? 120, 130 gram steel shaft and a driver at 43.5 inches. And, you know, players on PGA Tour, Tiger Woods playing that right now. That same player is using a 60, 70 gram, you know, carbon fiber product, and they're hitting it further. They're hitting, you know, just as crooked, just as straight. You know, these guys, especially young kids, they're hitting a ton of fairways and they're, you know, carrying 300 yards all day long. It's because the technology is there. And so we're applying that same technology to iron shafts, right? Like, why punish yourself playing? You know, I see people all the time, they buy stuff off the rack and it's like, why is this lady playing a dynamic gold wedge shaft, right? She has no business. She picks it up like, why is this so heavy? Why can't I swing this, right? And then all of a sudden you put like a lightweight shaft in there that she's used to and she swings it like, oh, this wedge is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, players benefit from technology, and, you know, obviously, we're seeing more and more of that with the younger generation growing up. They understand it, especially given the fact that there's so much data available to them. They can get on TrackMan, they can get on GC Quad, they can get on a myriad of different launch monitors. And it's like, whoa, hey, why is this shaft more consistent than this shaft, right? So we're seeing that the data's there and people see it. And so they can't refute it, right?
Sure. Should we talk about M40X a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. You know, yeah, Link, man. I believe you guys snuck. I was aware of black, blue, and red. I think you snuck a white into the lineup without me knowing.
Yeah. So basically, you know, obviously from a standpoint of Link, it's been around for a couple of years. You know, we had gunmetal, we had Link Purple. Really, you know, gunmetal was that you know, using 90 ton modulus, getting that low launch, low spin profile, and it worked well. And we had a lot of success on PGA Tour. And then basically, you know, what the guys this year are seeing is the Link M40X Tour Specs model, where we have a black, blue, and red profile. And black is just, you know, kind of your, what you call low, low, and then the blue is kind of a mid low, and then the red's kind of a mid product, right? You know, the difference being is that the black and red are kind of a smoother EI profile, but you know, red being a little softer overall, so that way that creates the little bit higher launch spin. And then the blue is a unique animal in terms of the midsection is extremely stiff compared to the other two, so it's not as smooth profile, but what that does is creates a higher launch because of the softer tip, but the midsection is very stable, so the spin is very stable as well. So you have those three different profiles that you typically associate with, you know, PGA Tour. And then from a fitting perspective, it's really easy. And then the Link M40X White is kind of a between the black and the blue. You know, it's a low mid profile, super stable, but different feel from those shafts. Those are going to be, you know, using full length M40X. In terms of the bias, and then the Link M40X White is utilizing that material in the tip section to control some of the launch and spin characteristics.
Okay, so is that a big reason why the three are TSPX, so the Tour Spec, and then the yep. White was non? Okay,
yeah, exactly.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and you know, I've tested that Link M40X White, and that's my favorite shaft because it feels good, and it gives me the control and feel that I'm looking for. Versus the other ones. Typically, the other ones are, you know, the black, the low launch are always in my mind. And when I hit it, when I test it, always, you know, feels a little bit firmer. But the cool thing is that with that M40X material, man, that makes the shaft feels, it brings it alive. It feels good. It feels good, but stable. You know, that's the overriding theme that we hear from PGA Tour players, from, you know, average golfers when we test it, like, God, this thing's stable, but it feels good, you know. A lot of times when you try to make something super stiff, it doesn't feel as good. So we're excited about this particular product and pushing hard on PGA Tour, Korn Ferry, developmental tour. You know, we've done a good job of pushing that, and we're seeing some growth out there. And, you know, hopefully more of that product available in the OEM programs like Callaway, TaylorMade, and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a ton of Link talk, and it's been around for quite a while. I mean, obviously you guys teased this a little bit ago and the discussion's been ongoing, but you know, there are a lot of other shafts that are viable in the lineup. You mentioned Helium, and some sort of legacy models that are still killing it. You're like, man, I remember hitting that back in the day. So
yeah, you know, obviously the legacy models we still sell in the aftermarket and custom programs like ProForce V2. It's crazy. And, you know, that shaft's been around for a long time and we still get a ton of requests. We sell, you know, we sell so many of those in the aftermarket, but then we sell a ton of those in the OEM custom programs, you know, like available at Callaway, Callaway, TaylorMade, Ping, Mizuno, those guys are Cobra Golf and stuff like that. They're killing it. And so the legacy model, like you said, I mean, people grew up on it and we just gave it a little bit of facelift a couple of years ago and it's still doing really well.
Are you going to give the listeners a sneak peek on anything coming down the line? Anything we can hope for? Any upgrades or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Recoil Dart 90-105 is coming down the line. That's going to be available in 23, expected in some programs coming up end of this year, early next year, potentially looking at driving irons and stuff like that, better player products. So look forward to that. I'm excited about it. You know, honestly, it's, you know, when I first joined the company, you know, 11 years ago, we were starting Recoil. And, you know, the one thing that when we started with that product was, how do we make it the best product in the marketplace in terms of iron shaft? It wasn't, how do we compete with someone? How do we make it the best? And I think, you know, Dart in 23 is just taking it to the next level. Just the consistency that we're seeing, the testing we're seeing is pretty phenomenal. And then, you know, obviously Link Helium products, you know, we're continuing to dive into those categories to make it even better. But what we're excited about is, you know, the all-in putter shafts. This has been ongoing for years now with me. And obviously we teased it in THP event in 2019, I think.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time coming. several different iterations of what that product in 2019 looked like to versus what it looked like today. We're going to be launching that probably end of this year into certain putter programs, but full launch in 23. And we're excited about that. It's a multi-material story, graphite upper section with an aluminum connector connecting into the graphite portion and into the steel tip. So it allows, the users to, reshaft their current putter, whether it's over the hosel, whether it's a single bin, double bin, or a plumber's neck. That allows all the different options. And, we're excited about it. Getting into this area of putter shafts is something unique, and the feedback we've seen and the testing we've seen has been pretty phenomenal in terms of getting proper launch conditions. One of those things with putter heads people never talk about is launch conditions, right? You have to have the right loft, you have to have the right lie angle, launch spin to get the ball rolling as fast as possible, but also on a straight line, right? So super excited about All In because it's a very stable product, but it's also a very good feeling product. A lot of times feedback we've seen from other competitors is like, this shaft is way too stiff, the shaft is way too heavy, there's no feel, there's no feedback. And so far, all the testing we've done with tour players, with average golfers that are in THP community, has been, hey, this thing is stable, but it feels good, right? So we're super excited about that. And, it's a long time coming, and we're excited about this. And when we launch into the market, it's not going to be outrageous either. It's going to be affordable. It's going to be a product that's going to be probably like around $99. You can buy it. It's nothing stupid where you can pay $200-$300 for a putter shaft, right? So I think having it at that price point, having it in some programs available out there in the marketplace, I think it's just going to make that particular golfer better. I've seen it firsthand where like, wow, this thing creates really good launch conditions, right? And that's something that never gets talked about with putter.
That's really interesting. and I've had great conversations about the benefits of looking beyond the stock whatever that's in your putter shaft. Typically, that means just a stock steel shaft. And this is something that's always been fascinating to me, Danny, because I've heard stories and I know of guys who, if there's something that it says on the shaft, they will lose their mind if it doesn't align with what they think they need to play. If it says R, they won't swing it. If it says R and they swing it and they like it, they'll never tell you from a guy who typically plays stiff or X, and that is so interesting that we've never, up until like the last year or so, put much thought into what we should be putting into our putter from a conditional standpoint. And I've experienced a couple different options. I'm excited to try All In because it sounds like it's a different approach. What I love the most about this is you guys are being very cost conscious, which is uncommon right now in golf. We're dealing with very opportunistic sellers in some cases, especially when it comes to actually going to play. Yep. So it's pretty awesome you guys are being thoughtful, at least for the consumer when it comes to that.
No, I think, if we can make a product that's going to perform the best for that particular golfer and create something that they're going to enjoy. I mean, obviously you're using the putter, a lot.
Ideally, not that much. Yeah.
but you're going to be using it a lot. Having something that you feel comfortable and, stroking that putter, it's going to create less putts for you. You score better, get up and down more often. I think it's a win-win situation. And, given the fact that the data we're seeing and the results we're seeing, it's been pretty phenomenal. It's one of those things where it's hard to explain what that feel is sometimes. But then I've talked to various industry insiders and gotten their feedback and what that feel and what that feels and translates into the proper launch conditions. It's been pretty special. And, this is just a start for us, and we're going to continue to dive into different areas of, okay, this is the one that's stable, right? And it's going to feel really good. But how do we make it for that golfer who might have a different stroke, right? So we're looking at different stroke patterns and trying to, fit 2-3 different stroke golfers out there. So it'd be interesting to see what
comes out. That's really interesting because no one's doing that either. That's so cool.
Think about the modern player, right? They're real mechanical. So, you know, having something that's a stiff structure is fine. But then you have someone, you know, for example, a field putter, which really doesn't exist anymore. But you think about like a Crenshaw, he's real wristy, right? So mm-hmm. you need something that's going to be a lot softer because that's what they're used to. So there's different profiles of you know, guys and gals that are swinging that putter. And, you know, I think having two probably makes the most sense, but there's probably two or three different profiles of putters out there.
Do you buy into the low torque logic of putter shafts?
No, I've never been a low torque guy. You know, testing we've seen torque, you know, it translates into feel more than anything else. I mean, we've made super low torque shaft and, you know, super low torque shaft can fit the slowest swing speed golfer out there. And whereas like we've seen guys who swing at 130 miles per hour, you know, 40 who benefit from a little bit higher torque product. Right. So, you know, torque, you don't associate, hey, this guy swings fast, he needs a little torque. This person swings really slow, needs higher torque. I've seen the reverse of that. You know, hey, this slower swing speed, the lower torque actually helps. The problem is like sometimes when you're designing stuff, when you're making a lightweight shaft, which benefits that slower swing speed, you can't make the torque low enough. It's just byproduct of just the material you're using and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously we would love to make a lightweight shaft that's like super low torque just to experiment, but that's not going to happen. So it's just going to feel like crap at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, it's a different feel for sure. Any truth to the rumor that every shaft out there is low spin, high launch?
Oh no, they're all low launch or they're all high spin. It's one or the other. All right. It's and everything in between. Obviously a lot of it has to do with the golfer, right? And then also the head. But the shaft is the mechanism that delivers the club head back to impact as good as possible for the proper launch conditions. That's what the shaft is there for, right? So, you know, if someone's playing the 10.5-degree driver and they need lower launch, get a 9-degree driver, right? Pretty simple. And then the shaft is there to fine tune that launch and spin characteristics of that golfer. So there's no miracle. If someone happens to hit up on the golf ball, positive attack angle, well, they're going to launch it high and it's going to be low spin. If they hit negative attack angle, guess what? It's going to be low launch, higher spin, right? So
now I feel like you're judging me.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. That shaft is there to that shaft is there to control the variables of launch and spin as much as possible.
I love that. Danny, do you have any questions for me today?
What's your favorite golf course? I mean, we talked about, you know, hey, I've played these various courses. What is the golf course you want to see? Like, hey, you play this in the fall, you want to play this in the spring.
Oh, interesting. Because I was going to say my favorite course. Oh, man. That hurts me. How am I supposed to answer that? Make you say favorite, man. I said, of course, you'd like to see differently.
No, I get that all the time. Like, what's your favorite course? I'm like, it's all about the experience with me, right? And anytime I'm doing these events, the experience is just like, oh, this is awesome. Like, hey, was Gaylord the best golf course in the world? No. But it was, you know, with the four members that we played with, it was a phenomenal track because of that, right?
Yeah. I think I would have to region it up and I will just feature one of my favorite courses. It's a course called River's Edge down in, I guess it'd be North Carolina, just right on the corner of South Carolina, North Carolina. It's a Palmer design that's built kind of through the marsh. And I enjoyed play there when it was at its absolute prime. And it was both punishing and wonderful all at the same time. And it's where I played with my dad and a lot of his buddies when I was growing up, getting to become a better golfer. And that was always my yearly test, is how do I do at River's Edge this year? And that determined, you know, whether I'd improved or not. So the first year I broke par there was a very big moment for me. And I think that kind of carries through into the best course experience.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, not too far down the street was another one, True Blue, which I know most people would say Caledonia. So I'm a True Blue guy. I don't care.
No, man, that's great. Yeah. So this is your last meal. What are you eating and what are you drinking?
Oh man. Well, I want to say Chipotle just to really upset JV and send him into a tizzy. What am I drinking? Well, it's most certainly rum and a lot of it. If it's my last meal, I may as well go out kicking and screaming. Eating though, I feel like a nice steak, either ribeye or
poutine,
fillet,
like a poutine, like
with a side of heavy poutine. Yeah. You shouldn't have said that because I was going there. The only thing that slows me down, because we don't get that here. At least at the, you know, you go out to dinner, you can't really get poutine very often. And when they do, they put a lot of other crap on it that I don't really want. Poutine is fries with cheese and gravy on top. Well, cheese curds. But when you say cheese curds, people, what is a cheese curd? That sounds terrible. It's not. It's cheese.
It is terrible.
But it's like one of the most unhealthy things to eat. So yeah, if I'm going down, it's going to be with a belly full of just poutine nonsense. Yeah, that's pretty solid. And then probably I have like this weird love for cauliflower. So load that's up strange. some more cheese, like a really spicy cheese sauce, with some crunchy halfway cooked cauliflower. It's a game changer. Yeah.
This is like the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life. This is my last meal.
You don't like poutine? Steak? Yeah. What's wrong with steak?
Steak is fine, but poutine and cauliflower, like, what are you doing?
I mean, that one's a hard one to explain. I enjoy it, but it's also an emotional tie to my mom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that runs a little deep. So, right. no apologies there. It's the rum that'll really save me.
Yeah. So, so I want to know, like, are you still struggling with driver? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. You coming up to help me out or?
No. Driver is the easiest club to hit. I don't know why you're struggling with it. You're such a good golfer.
Yeah. So I'm still soft capped. I've been soft capped for about a year and a half, and it has everything to do with the driver swing. So we're going to get it fixed. I've got like my own internal clock, and I think the one good thing that I've got going for me is it's not getting worse. So every time I go down to the range, it gets like a little bit better and I figure a couple things out. But the weirdest part, Danny, is every single hit I make when I'm like, I'm not trying to change something, it's always in the middle of the phase. So it's just a path issue. And maybe I need to shut the hands down just a little bit more. Once that's there, we're back in business. And I've got a member here in August. So hopefully I fix it like a week before and just purely slay the field. Yeah. Shoot like net 61 or something like that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, you're really driving the dagger home with that one. Yeah.
I just heard rumors,
circulating rumors of a trash can.
I'm like, man, this guy, when I saw you, you're like, this guy doesn't miss. And like, and all of a sudden I hear a driver problem. It's like, okay.
I still don't miss with the irons though. They're the best part of my game, and the putter too. So yeah, there's a good reason why THP TV hasn't had a lot of driver videos in the last half year.
Oh, it's all coming. See, now it makes sense.
So yeah, that hurts. You're done asking me questions. That's all right. That's all right. Hey man, it's always a blast having you on. For everyone listening out there, if they could pick, if you could tell them to go hit one UST Mamiya shaft tomorrow to see what they think about, what would it be?
Hit the Linkwood shaft and the Recoil Dart iron shaft.
Okay. Yeah. And then the all in, since I said one and you picked all of them. So that's
all of them. That's fine. Yeah. Because they're also good. They're also good. You can't just pick one, right?
That's fair. Yeah. Once you go one, you go all, I guess is the case. So
I have three daughters at home. I can't pick one favorite one.
Yeah, well, you could, but they don't listen to the pod. You can tell me which one it is right now.
No, it's okay.
No.
It lives on the internet.
Yeah, true. Well, hey, thanks again for your time, man. It's always fun talking to you. It's been a thrill watching Recoil evolve. It's been a few years seeing that build up and change. Yeah. And I remember Link when it was just a wee little gunmetal. So now that it's evolving as well, it's super cool. So good luck in the next couple months, and obviously have fun at Shaft Up. You seem to be enjoying yourself.
Yeah, no, that's a blast. I mean, and thanks to you, Dan. Thanks to the THP team, and thanks to the THP forum. I'm always participating. So if you guys ever need anything, you know, don't hesitate to ask.
Yeah. If you're golfing this weekend, have an awesome time. Go hit some UST Mamiya products. Let us know what you think on the forum, and we will see you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.